Welcome to Forward, a podcast by EasyCare, where we protect what moves you with your host, Corey Smith, and co-host, Eric Howdige. The views and opinions expressed by guests in this podcast may not be those of the host or EasyCare and APCO Holdings Brands.
Welcome to Forward. I'm your host, Corey Smith, National Fixed Operations Training Director with EasyCare. With me is my partner in crime, co-host extraordinaire, Eric Howdige. Eric, welcome to Forward.
Thank you so much, Corey. Today we have an amazing guest. It's going to be exciting. I am ready to get into this conversation.
Eddie, welcome to Forward.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. I've been watching you, Corey, for a long time, so glad we finally got on here. We talked like a year ago. I don't know if you remember that or not.
I do remember that, yeah.
And we just never got back together.
So now my agent talked to your agent, and we made it happen, so I like it.
Yep, so, $100,000 will be great. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Eddie, tell our audience a little bit about you. How'd you get into the business and what are you up to these days?
So I got into the business when I was a little kid. My dad owned a tire store for over 30 years. So I'm, you know, 8-9 year old kid with a rag in his back pocket going around rolling tires and getting dirty. And he taught me a lot about the business, and we did struts and brakes and oil changes and minor maintenances like that. So I grew up on the aftermarket side of the world. When I was about 23, a friend of mine talked me into going to a Lincoln store where I turned in my uniform for a suit and a tie, and I never looked back. Been in the dealership world ever since. So I know both sides of it. And I think that tires have been my whole life. I mean, if I'm walking through a parking lot, I constantly look at tires as I'm going through there, and that guy needs tires. That guy's tires are okay. There's a nail in that one. It even, my wife told me the other day, she did it to a lady at church. Hey, you need tires. So I guess it kind of, you know, my whole family spread through it. I thought it was funny too. Somebody asked me, I went to the movies this weekend and saw F1 with Brad Pitt.
And they said, how was it?
I thought it was great. I interpreted it. The whole movie was about tires, and they laughed. Like, I didn't get that. I said, that's how I see everything is through tires. And he was like, you know, low tire pressure to do this. Let's put the soft tires on, the hard tires on, air them up. And it was just, you know, tires can win the race. So it's the same thing in the dealership and the aftermarket world. So I am now the general manager of Forest Lane CDJR in Dallas, Texas. And even though my whole life is service, it says right here, Eddie in service. Everybody keeps saying, are you Eddie in sales now? And I say, no, sales is about service too. So I feel like I've had a life of service, and tires has been 80% of that. So yeah.
I love the story. One of the things that you started talking about was, Eddie, how do tires influence long-term service retention, and what strategies can dealerships use to turn a simple tire sale into a lifetime customer?
It's not a secret. It's been around for 30 or 40 years, and it drives me crazy that dealerships don't take tires more seriously. The number one defection of a customer from a dealership is tires. It's been that way for years and years. People try to put into it, and they start it up, but they don't stick with it very long. It takes about 3 years to see the return on that, because the customer comes in. First of all, 33% of customers don't even know that dealerships sell tires. So we don't talk about it. It's not around. So they come in. It's about 29,000 miles in their car. They think they need tires. They don't know the dealership does it. So they call an aftermarket store. They go over there, they get tires, and while they're there, they sell them a 30K service. And they go, well, I was going to get it done at the dealership, and it was this. They go, well, we can do it for this. We have the same stuff, and you're already here. So it sucks the loyalty out of that customer, and they don't have to go back to the dealership. I've heard dealer principals everywhere ask me, why do customers leave our store and go buy another brand? Why don't they stick with us? And I think it's because of tires. If they came there and they got tires every time, it doesn't let them go away and taste anything else. So, and we do it better. We don't talk about tires enough.
Wow. I love that. You brought up Eddie in service. What is Eddie in service?
It's several things. The main reason that it started was I noticed that only one Gen Zer every 60 to 90 days was bringing their own car in. They're 27 years old, and their mom is still driving their son's truck in during her lunch hour to get an oil change because the Gen Zers are afraid to go to the dealership. They don't know how to talk car. So it makes them nervous and they just don't go. And I thought, you know, the future, if we're going to be getting their business, then we need to learn how to talk to them. So I had zero social media about a year and a half ago, except for LinkedIn. And I dove in. I remember talking to you, Corey, back when I was doing it. I was like, hey, I'm going to try some YouTube. And we're like, okay, good luck, you know. So far it's working out really good. I'm learning as I go. I had no technical skills at all. I'm surprised I can work this thing here. but it started out with me making Gen Z comfortable going to the dealership, and I'm still working on that. And it's not just Gen Z, it's a lot of people. Us in the dealership world have lost 70% of our maintenance to Goodyear, Firestone, NTB, just the outside world. We're giving it away. And we're giving it away because we don't take tires seriously. Tires can fix sales and service and parts if you focus on it. So at Forest Lane, we do focus on it. We've been number one now for a year in tire sales and CDJR. And it's because we let everybody know that we're in tire. When you walk in, I told my parts manager, when we start this, I want people to complain about two things. It smells like cookies and rubber in here. And we did both. We bake fresh cookies every day, three or four times. And as soon as you walk in, that tire smell hits you right in the face. So they know we sell tires. Yeah.
I love the journey. I love the projection. I love the things you've been doing. Most dealerships see tires as low margin products, right? But what are the hidden profit centers around tires that many managers really overlook?
I think they're stuck in the past. You now can make money off tires. We do. You know, Discount Tire did a great job back in the 70s and 80s and even 90s of stealing all of our customers. They were the first ones to give free rotations, the first one to give free flat repairs. So everyone went there and they had low prices back in those days. I don't know if anybody's checked the prices of Discount lately, but they're not cheap anymore. I have not been beat by Discount Tire in probably 5 years on price. Wow. But people still don't think that. They just are stuck back then. And I talked to one last week, an older woman, and she said, I hate going to Discount. It's crowded. They're not nice. It's dirty. It's just not what it was years ago. And I think it's because they were on top. Nobody could touch them. So I think they relaxed. And I think that could be good for us and bad for them.
That's great information, and it's really useful for the people in the drive. How can service advisors and drive managers be trained to overcome the stigma that customers don't buy tires in dealerships and confidently present them as a value option?
I use a lot of stats. Statistics have shown for like 22 years, I think it is, that 78% of customers buy tires from the first person that asks. So price isn't even really a factor in that. But you have to get all in the tire business. Advisors, they just blow it off depending on their pay plan. I know like our guys get paid on total parts and sales. So, or total sales. So with that, I mean, you sell a set of tires, they're $60, you know, that they make just like that. So if I was an advisor, I would sell two sets of tires a day and make a killing. I think that old stigma sticks around. So the manager doesn't push it. The advisor sure doesn't want to sell them because it's a pain, or the parts manager might not have the parts in stock, the tires. So you have to get fully in the tire business. You can't just get halfway in it. So if you get all the way in it, you have to focus. You have to have a tire guy training. All the tire manufacturers have excellent training where you can win lots of prizes and swag, and they send you on trips to test drive cars. But any of the manufacturers will train up. They're begging dealers to get involved. And I talked to some of these tire reps that go to 300 dealerships, and they say maybe two or three might care that they're even there. So
it's funny that you mention the pay plan part. Because in many conversations, when we talk about tires, that pay plan word pops up, the gross profit portion pops up. Nobody wants to see the gross profit as an area where the profit is not so much in the money, it's in how long we keep our customers. Our leaders in those positions help the advisors look at it from a pay plan part? How can they include it? What are some of the things that you practice or you've seen be practiced that promote, hey, tires need to be sold in the service drive?
Yeah, my particular dealership, we live it and breathe it. I mean, I want everybody to get a tire quote. I don't care if they have 3,000 miles on their car. If they get a tire quote at 3,000 and you say, hey, it's $1,100 for tires for your car, they're going to say, well, it's brand new. I just bought it. I know, but we want you to know that when you get ready to buy them in 30,000 miles, we've got them in stock. Here's the price of them. Here's what it's going to cost. I'm going to give you a loaner car that day and you can get an oil change and all this other stuff included while you're driving around in our loaner car and get a set of tires. Nobody else can do that. And you're going to get a free car wash after it's over. So
that's bold. That's a bold statement. I like that. It also gives the customer a chance to go, okay. And here's, when I was an advisor, I would tell a customer with a brand new car coming in for their first service, hey, these tires are soft rubber. They're going to last between 15 and 25,000 miles. You know, your next set will be different. It'll feel different, but they'll last longer. And if I would have followed up and said, hey, here's a price on 4 set of tires when you're ready, man, I probably would have sold more tires. That's a bold, bold thing to do. I like that.
Yeah. So all our customers know, I mean, I even had I have to be careful with the story, a manufacturer rep the other day that had his vehicle in another dealership. He was just getting a state inspection. The advisor came out and said, hey, here's your keys. Your state inspection is ready to go. Oh yeah, you need some tires. And he goes, okay, we'll go ahead and put them on. He goes, well, we're not really that kind of dealership, so you might want to go somewhere else where they sell tires.
Oh.
First of all, he was blown away. He said, I knew right who to call. He called me instantly. Hey, do you have 4 tires for the da-da-da-da in stock? I was like, yeah, come get them. So it's just that mindset. And I think it starts at the top. I've heard dealer principals and GMs say, hey, we're not in the tire business. Get those tires off the drive or, you know, whatever. And they're robbing themselves of future car sales.
Wow. Okay. Let's jump into tire sales, right? How do tire sales impact fixed ops metrics like hours per repair order, effective labor rate, overall gross profit in your mind?
The same way that all these aftermarkets are taking our business. Actually, they're not taking it. We're giving it to them because we're not in the tire business. So if one of our customers buys a car and at 30,000 miles goes to get tires at an aftermarket, they're going to sell him a power steering flush, everything that's due for that 30,000 mile service. At my store, we use Justice Brothers, and we have factored in effective labor rate on every one of those of what I want it to be. And it's not low, it's high. So when that customer stays with us, we get to keep all those metrics, the good metrics. If not, we're just going to give them to the aftermarket. And, you know, when I was 20 years ago, I think the aftermarket world had 60% of our business. Now they have 70, and it's just going to keep coming the more we push them away. And tires is the key to all of it.
Yeah, I like that philosophy. And when I was a manager, I wanted to sell tires because same things you just talked about. I could look at the brakes, I could do other services, right? So it wasn't a lost leader for me, but I would have the team tell the customers that we buy our tires at cost and we mark it up $10 over cost so that we're in line or cheaper than anybody else around. And that seemed to go pretty well for the most part. But I really wish we would have had more technology back then. And I know you love tech, and I know you're into technology and what you do and how you talk about it. So what role does technology like tread depth scanners or inspection videos play in increasing tire sales and building that customer trust?
I wish I would have had all this technology when I was younger. What you and I had to do when we were advisors is the customer pull in, you turn the steering wheel to the right and you point at the tire. Now it reads the tread. It can tell you if you need alignment. There's so much technology out there. I can name off 3 big companies right now that have some really good stuff out there. But the advisor, I think these days, has so many things to worry about. I know, you know, they got 19 windows open at the bottom of their computer, and they've got to talk about tires, credit cards, maintenance, what they're due for, their appointment. I mean, it's a lot these days. So I think all that technology helps take that away. So one of the things we have is as soon as a customer pulls on the service drive, we have a Hunter machine, and it's taking video of the car, and it looks at the tires, and it checks the alignment. So in 3 seconds, which is how long I want my advisor to get to that customer, he's already got a printout or on his tablet a picture that the alignment's out or whatever. And with video inspections, with the techs do out in the shop, when a customer sees it with their own eyes and it's a computer telling them and not a human trying to sell them something, I think it goes a long way. We have customers, I don't use the same one now as I used to, but used to I had it so that the video went from the technician straight to the customer. It bypassed the advisor. So the customer calls the advisor right away and says, hey, go ahead and put those tires on or fix those brakes. And they're like, well, what are you talking about? Well, I just got a video from you saying that. Oh, yeah, well, go ahead and do it. Well, I got to give you an estimate for it. What do I need an estimate for? I've seen it with my own eyes. Just fix it. Well, I'll call you back in a minute with the estimate. So I like the pressure that it put on the advisor to call him back and tell him what it was. But we had so many compliments from customers saying how much they liked that. And we could watch to see how many times they watched it. So if somebody watched it 11 times, they would come in and I would ask them, hey, I noticed you watched it 11 times. Well, I sent it to my dad and my brother. My boyfriend's a mechanic. I wanted him to see it. And they all said, yes, do it. So technology is great for advisors these days.
Yeah, and they're asking their expert friend, right? And just to make sure. It's funny you say that with the advisor. It's almost like when I'm at a restaurant and the waiter brings over the bill and I instantly give him my card for payment. He's like, don't you want to look at it? I'm like, is it going to change? And the guy's like, laughs at me. No. Then here you go. Why do I need to look at it?
Yeah. Right? Same way.
Yeah. So customers are already accustomed to that, right?
Hey, Eddie, what are some of the common excuses advisors give for not selling tires? And how could managers address this head on?
Eric, that's been a battle since 30 years ago when or longer, actually. I think that, like I said earlier, discount used to make it really easy to get tires somewhere else, and they were fast. They're not fast anymore. So advisors will push away anything that's going to cause them more stress or anything in their life. So I think what we do is we have everybody trained, but I usually have a tire guru or expert on the drive that if somebody runs into a question and they don't know it, they can go to that tire guy. For me, it's my parts manager. I've got the number one tire guy in the world working for me, Wes. So he's really good. I haven't met anybody better than him. And he's also the parts manager. So, and he loves tires as much as I do. And so me and him are giddy about tires. We talk about it, you know, almost every day. But it comes back to training, and I've always had spiffs too. So like the top two guys that sell the most tires this week win this. So it has to be a culture. It's tire culture all the time. Tires everywhere, banners, the things that go over the tires. Tires need to be on the drive and even in the waiting room. I think it's really cool the way I've got my waiting room set up is the waiting room's here, but the tires are they go all the way down to the end. So I've watched it a dozen times. The customers come in, they look around, see the tires, and then they walk over and just sit there and look at all the tires and they have a seat.
Eddie, one of the areas that advisors always look at when they're selling tires is how it affects their metrics, effective labor rate, the charts that come in, either weekly, hopefully daily, but if not monthly at minimum. What are some of the strategies and some of the ideas that you can give these service advisors so that the service advisors that are listening could say, hey, I didn't think about that. These are areas that I should be looking at when a customer's buying a tire from me.
I want customers to come back to me forever, just like you did when you were an advisor. And I think the way to do that is let them know what's happening next time. So by giving them a tire quote for next time and just being open and honest with them. Hey, you're 4,000 miles away, or I heard you were going on vacation. Here's what I can do for you. I can sell you a set of tires and we finance. So for $62 a month, I can get you a set of tires right now and you can use that money for Christmas or vacation or whatever you want. I mean, there's so many tools advisors have now to sell tires. There's really no reason not to, unless it's just laziness or whatever, because it makes your paycheck bigger. It gets you more loyalty from the customer. It brings them back to you every time. I don't know if y'all have read the book by Carl Sewell. What's it, Life? Customers for Life?
Customers for Life, yep.
Yeah. I read that back in, I think it was the late 80s, and it kind of changed my whole thinking. I mean, you can turn a $500 customer into a $500,000 customer. And as an advisor, I'm 59 years old, and I have customers that are calling me for 30 years. I bought a house from one of them. I mean, if you're taking care of customers, they're going to follow you wherever you're going. So, and nowadays everybody's got their cell phone attached to it. So you could start at a new dealership tomorrow and have 30 customers ready to go. It's not like you have to wait and build it up anymore. I just think it's up to the advisor to want to be a good businessman. So many of them are just there. If it's just a job to you, you're not going to want to sell tires. It needs to be a career, and you have to have a good attitude. Attitude is a lot of it as well.
Yeah, we talk about it in our training class all the time. If you want to get paid as a professional, you got to be willing to do what the professionals are willing to do. Like Patrick Mahomes didn't just be born and be able to throw a football, right? He worked at it. He got up at 2 o'clock in the morning, worked out, ate right, did that for a number of years. Now look at him, right? But everyone sees the success at the top, but doesn't look at, well, how they get there, right? It's hard road to get there. So let's switch gears here a little bit, Eddie, and let's talk about your past event that you had. Tell us a little bit about that, because I missed it, and I want to ask for me, are you going to have it next year? And tell us all about it.
Yeah, it was the second one I've had. I had one last year, and this one was even bigger and better. We gave away more prizes, and it filled up pretty quick. We have five vendors that speak to 35 decision makers, some GMs, a dealer principal, and mainly service managers. I think I had a parts manager that was in there. But we gave away tires and prizes, and each vendor gets to give a 3-minute speech. I think they call it an elevator pitch to these decision makers of a dealership. So it's like a mini NADA, and you carry more swag than you can get. So I know you've been to NADA, but it's walking all day for 10 hours, for 3 or 4 days. This one in less than 2 hours, and you get good food, lots of prizes. So I might have to do them more than once a year because people are just constantly asking. So I've had somebody mention I should take it to Austin and Houston and do it there. So maybe I got a new career coming up or something, but
I see it now.
Really successful.
Eddie in Service Tour, right?
Yeah, I love
coming
it.
To a city near you.
Get Van Halen to open for me? Yeah.
That's great. What processes should a dealership have in place to ensure consistent tire inspection, recommendations, and follow-ups on every single vehicle?
That is the key, is consistency. You have to let everybody know you're in the tire business. I even have tires on the showroom of where we sell the cars, and I have two separate buildings. So service and parts is in one building, and then you walk across the parking lot and there's sales. So we have tires there. We talk about tires we do lots of social media. So if you've seen any of my social media, you'll see us talk about tires. I just built two Jeeps named after a tire. We got the General Grabber. So I built one Jeep, put a lift kit on it. It's called the General. And another one called the Grabber, and it says it right there on the hood. So we are in the tire business all the way. Then over in service, we have stacks of tires on the drive. We have tires in the waiting room. We have banners up. We give estimates to customers when they come in, whether they need tires or not. We want them to know we're in the tire business. And we use technology. So when you drive on our service drive, we measure electronically tires, and we can check to see if the alignment's out. The advisors are allowed to wear tire polos instead of ours because they take training tests. And once you pass training, those tire companies send you polos and sometimes shoes and air gauges and pins. And so if you walk onto my service drive, you'll go, you know what? This guy is selling tires. You know, right away. It has to be a tire culture.
Yeah. Just in case someone from Michelin is listening, I would love some Michelin sneakers. Shoes, whatever.
Sputting it out.
Goodyear, Goodyear shoes.
Goodyear, I'm down with that too.
Yeah.
Those shoes should last you roughly about 40 to 50,000 miles. Just throwing it out there, right? As long as your feet are aligned.
Somebody did ask me what the mileage warranty was on those. So
that's funny.
Eddie, can you share a success story where a dealership transformed its tire strategy and saw real gains in retention or revenue?
Only because they were mine. Every dealership I've gone to, tires is on my mind. I do remember way back when I went to that Lincoln dealership for the first time when I was a young man, growing up in the tire business. And there was an elderly woman talking to the advisor next to me. And he didn't care whether she got tires or not. And she said, well, before my husband passed, he told me to get Michelin tires. And that's what I have to get. Well, we don't carry those. Can you do another brand? She goes, no. He told me to get Michelin. He goes, well, it's going to take me about a week to get them. So come back in a week and we'll put them on. She's like, okay. I'd only been there a couple of hours. I'd never been an advisor at a dealership before. I ran out to the car and chased her. I said, man, there's no way it takes a week. Because, you know, at my dad's store, you could get them that day or the next. And she ended up becoming my customer and I stole it from that guy. But it did take 3 days to get the tires. I was blown away that we were that bad at taking care of customers' tires. So that hit me hard that day, all those years ago. And I just don't want that to happen to any of our customers because I feel like I'm screaming to the heavens, tire business for dealerships. And I don't know that a lot of dealerships are listening. I visit a lot of dealerships. I'd say twice a month, a friend of mine will say, hey, can you go to my friend's dealership and just kind of look around, tell me what he's doing wrong or what he needs to do. And I barely see anybody in the tire business anymore. And we're just giving our business away. So there's been a couple of nights laying in bed thinking, maybe I need to jump over to the 70% side. They're the ones that are selling tires and care. But I believe in the dealership world. We have so much to offer and we don't let the customer know as much as we should. So as far as success stories, it's always been mine. Probably 12 years ago, I created a sheet and it's in a folder and it's so nice, you don't want to throw it away. It's got a nice hard cover on it. The customer comes in, it's got their VIN number, their advisor's number, or their name, their VIN number, and their mileage on the front. Then you open it up. We actually take 4 pictures of the customer's tires, each one. I try to take a picture of the worst spot, like if there's a nail in it, it gets a picture of that, or where you can see their tread wear, and it puts 230 seconds, 430 seconds, 230 seconds, whatever. And then I do a battery check, so it's got their battery readout inside that folder. It's got where they can finance the tires. It's got the importance of road hazard and that they need an alignment. It's all in that folder so that when they go home and they tell their husband, hey, Eddie said I needed tires, and I also print out a estimate from discount, and it shows them where I'm cheaper than discount tire in there. So,
wow. Okay.
I know a lot of parts managers that just not want to deal with it. Tire manufacturers will pay a dealership whatever they ask for the tire, the difference. So if I sell a tire for $500 and discount says it for $400, I can submit that to my manufacturer. They'll pay me the difference. So I don't lose a penny. So I can save the customer a lot of money. I go on the internet. What's the cheapest tire price? I print that tire price out. I submit it to my manufacturer. They pay me the difference. So I don't lose a penny on that. But a lot of parts managers don't want to deal with it. So they either... yeah, don't sell those tires, or they don't want to get into it, and they're missing out.
A lot of great information, Eddie. So I'm going to get a little personal here with you. What does Eddie do for fun outside of the dealership?
This is how twisted I am. This is my fun, talking about tires. So, and getting into Eddie in service. I literally come home, I eat for 10 minutes, and I get right on the computer. And I'm constantly learning about AI and technology and trying to figure out what's next and networking. It's easier for me now that all my kids are grown. You know, I got 3 daughters and they're all out of the house now. So I probably have more time than your average 27-year-old with, 3 kids or something like that. So I enjoy this so much. I love reviewing cars. I love reviewing products. I've done several testimonies for different companies. And I don't know where it's going to take me, but I hope in 5 years, I'm just reviewing cars. That's what I'd like to do.
That's great. I had a feeling you were going to answer it like that, because if I asked that question to Eric, he would say it almost the exact same way.
It is. When Eddie was talking, I'm like, is he reading out of my mind?
Like, I'm a huge car enthusiast, have been since, my dad was a drag racer. I drag raced, went to NASCAR school. I love cars, and I go to car shows as much as I can. I went to a car show about 3 weeks ago, and I have a Corvette, a Trans Am, and I just leased a new 25 electric charger, which I never thought in a million years I'd be driving an EV car. But I have so much fun in that thing. At that car show, I took five old timers a test drive in that electric car because they had the same attitude as me just 6 months ago. I wouldn't have never thought it, but they're so fast. And, you know, I race a lot. So those EVs have changed my way of thinking.
Love it. I love it.
And, you know, tires are going to be important for that too. You know, I went from my Trans Am weighs probably 3,500 pounds. This EV weighs about 7,000 pounds. So it's going to go through tires really quick. Tire business isn't going away. I mean, the tires are, I think, one of the greatest inventions that we've ever had. I remember in the 70s and 80s, they were bias ply and they followed the road everywhere and they rode bad. Now, I think they're a modern day miracle. They don't blow out on their own like they used to. Used to, they were just bad and they'd blow out. Now, if you got a tire that blew out, it's because you hit something or you had low tire pressure. But tires have almost been perfected. And there's not even really a bad tire out there anymore. Used to, you know, Michelin was the best and some other Chinese brand you never heard of. But now, I think most tires are really, really good.
I don't disagree. Well, we've had great information, as Corey just stated, that, I mean, I was taking notes. That's how good of a podcast this was. Eddie, for the people that are listening, for the people that are hearing the messages and the information, what are three takeaways from this episode that the dealership can take action on?
Get in the tire business. You can't half-ass it. Hope I can say that. You have to get all in. That means the GM has to believe in it. The dealer principal has to believe in it. And it's not a 6-month try it and then get rid of it. It's a 5-year plan. Because if you're going to get customers to come back and buy a car from you in 3 or 4 years, they have to get tires from you or you're letting them go and you'll never see them again. So that's one thing. I think training is extremely important. Every advisor on my service drive is platinum trained. There's no excuses. It's one of the first things I do when I go in. Sure, the manufacturer's training is good, everything else. But when a customer asks them about tires, I want them to know, have the answer. And if not, I got a great tire guy they can go ask and he'll talk to them about it. The third thing is, you know, I'm old, so I don't want the business to be gone in 10 years. We are giving away our dealership business to the aftermarkets. And the answer to that is tires. And I just need to get that word out there. And hopefully everybody gets in the tire business. If not, they can call me. I'm on several different platforms. LinkedIn is probably my favorite. But I also have a podcast on Spotify and YouTube and TikTok and Instagram and maybe a couple of other ones.
That's great, Eddie. I love all of that. Those are great takeaways. EasyCare is a total performance provider working alongside your team to help achieve your goals in F&I and across the dealership. We are an award-winning provider and administrator of F&I products and can provide the tools, knowledge, and training needed to help unlock the potential of your dealership. For more information on EasyCare or to be a guest on Forward, please feel free to send me an email at csmith@apcoholdings.com. Eddie, that is all the time that we have for today. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for being a part of this episode. And I'll ask this last question, like I ask every guest. Will you please come back?
Of course. Thank you, Corey. Thank you, Eric. You guys have been amazing. And Corey, you got my cell phone number. If you need anybody that needs tires, let me know.
You got it.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Forward, a podcast brought to you by EasyCare with Corey Smith. Be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast. New episodes are released on the 5th and 20th of every month.